Welcome to the Scream Sisters podcast, women who love horror.
We're all just misfits and odds. We're running around the city at night, underneath the city lights, oh yeah.
This is Misty from the Scream Sisters. I'm here with Bill Moseley.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. So what's new in the world with Bill Moseley?
Well, let's see. My younger daughter just turned 18 and is a freshman at UCLA. Got a new dog, a little rescue dog named Scampers, kind of a cross between a Chihuahua and a Terrier.
Cool.
And Scampers lately has been pooping inside, and this is not a good thing.
My cat does that outside her litter box.
You know, good old Scampers. And then she is the irresistible rescue dog. I had breakfast this morning. I had a croissant and egg and sausage at Dunkin' Donuts here in Worcester.
That sounds yummy.
And that sausage is a little too much, so I pulled it out just at the croissant and egg with Dunkin' Donuts coffee and an apple juice.
That sounds yummy. So, last year I asked you what your favorite scary movie is. This year, I'm going to ask you, what would Otis's favorite scary movie be?
I would have to say a Serbian film. I think Otis would really enjoy that.
Yes.
It's not really such a scary film as it is just frightening in a way, just that people could behave like that. Took me, Bill, two viewings to get through the whole thing.
I've never seen it.
It's a lot. I think Otis would also like the first two Human Centipede movies.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't as excited about the third one as I was about the first two. I thought the first two were just awesome.
I've asked Sean Whalen this, and I'm going to ask you this. What can you tell us about Death House?
About Death House? I think it's got more tweets about it than any other movie I've ever heard of or seen. I hope it lives up to the hype. I had a good time working with Harrison, our director, and I really look forward to it. I just hope it lives up to the hype because it has really just been all over Twitter and I'm sure Facebook and so they're really working the social media side of it.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I know that this is the 13th edition of Rock and Shock. And this particular year is dedicated to Gunnar Hansen, the original and greatest Leatherface. And Gunnar wrote Death House originally. It was a very different script from what we shot. So I hope, just to honor his memory, Death House turns out to be fabulous.
Awesome. All right, thank you. Do you have any current music projects coming out or that you're working on?
Yes, I do, and thanks for asking. Actually, I have an EP coming out in December with Phil Anselmo.
Oh, it's finally coming out?
It's
official?
Finally coming out, yes.
Yay!
And it's coming out on the Housecore label. EP means six songs. Not an LP, an EP, and I think that's going to be both CDs and vinyl, and I'm sure you can download it too. It's called Bill and Phil, Songs of Darkness and Despair. I sing, I do the singing, and Phil does the music, and does occasional background vocals, I guess, but we'll see how it goes. It sounds great. It's been played at a couple of shows, kind of as a sneak preview,
awesome.
And people seem to like it, so I'm looking forward to that finally dropping after, we did it, I was down in Louisiana working with Phil on that a year ago last March.
Oh, wow.
So it's coming up on almost, 2 years old, so should be seasoned.
Okay. Any other movies that you're working on right now?
I'm doing a movie in January in Michigan called Crepitus. Crepitus, and I play a crackling, creaking, scary, child-eating clown.
Oh.
So I'll be talking to Sid Haig and getting some pointers.
Nice. How is Sid doing?
Sid's doing great. I think I'm going to see him in 2 weeks down in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, awesome. I wish he was here.
At a horror con called Fanboy.
That's awesome.
So Sid and I will, you know, we travel a lot to conventions, and of course we work a lot still, so that's it.
I just had one last question for you. I read that you were initially a journalist. I'm curious, what made you make this your career change going into acting?
Well, you know, I always loved acting. I just never really thought. I come from the Midwest, and my folks were country club Republicans. My dad was an executive at a company that made railroad tank cars. So it wasn't exactly, acting wasn't exactly something that was offered up to us, my two brothers and me, as a viable career choice. So I went to college. I was a Yaley, and am a Yaley, I guess, still, and was an English major. So when I got out of college, I had artistic impulses, and when I got out of college, I wrote for a living. That's basically what I did. I started in advertising and didn't really like that so much, so I ended up in New York as a journalist, freelancing for different magazines, Omni magazine, Rolling Stone, you know, a bunch of different cool mags. And you know, when I got into acting, what was amazing to me was, you know, that it was not only you could make a living at it, but I was able to make a much better living than I was as a journalist. So that was another big plus to it. Plus, you know, with actors, you know, we have a union.
Right.
So that really helps.
Sure.
Yeah, it really helps to have the Screen Actors Guild and a pension and a health plan and all kinds of stuff. So that, you know, that just seemed more of a, you know, especially when I had, you know, kids. I mean, it just seemed like a more steady career, strangely enough. And you don't think of acting as a steady career, and it really isn't. But I've been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah, it's a pretty steady work.
You know, and it's been steady. So awesome. God bless the Screen Actors Guild.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right.
And this is Misty signing out.
I love your voice better. Hi, it's Bill Moseley, and welcome to the Scream Sisters podcast, where everything is spooky.
Hello, everyone. This is Jessa Doom live at Rock and Shock. I am with Pancho Moeller from 31. He plays Sickhead. Say hello.
Hi, everyone. I'm Pancho.
And
how's it going?
Let's see. My first question, we like to open up with like this, is what's your favorite scary movie?
Let's see. My favorite scary movie is growing up, I was really scared of The Shining. I have a few. There's no just one. I was scared of this movie called Ghost Stories. And then this other movie called Bad Dreams really, like, messed me up.
Never heard of it. I have to check it out.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's really creepy. It's very, like, it's, like, about a cult, you know, and just them all burning themselves. But then this woman that escaped the cult has dreams, and they start end up coming to life with these people coming back from the cult to get her, like, the cult leader. And he's all burnt up, and it's the way it's filmed and the scoring of it is just, it's mentally, like, fucked for your head.
Well, that sounds awesome. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
All right. My question, how was it working on 31 and being in the whole Rob Zombie genre?
Well, it was, you know, that's a good question. I get asked that. I've been asked that a few times, and all I can say is, you know, I was one of the few actors in there that had to audition. You know, everybody, Rob is very generous and very kind in the sense that he recycles his actors. You know,
yes.
If he likes working with you, he's going to keep you on for, and that's the beauty of Rob, you know. And so I was the first act, or the only actor on there that had to audition for it. And once I got the audition, I didn't even know I was auditioning for a Rob Zombie movie. And then once I got it, they called me. It was exciting, you know. It was nerve-wracking, too. I mean, I'm getting to work on a horror movie, one of the most anticipated movies for him. And I get to play a fucking killer clown. I didn't even know I was playing a Nazi, you know, with Hitler. He's going to be speaking Spanish. These are all choices that Rob had and visions that he had. And you just went with it, you know. He's a great director. He was easy to work with. He gave me my freedom, and he just trusted me, and we trusted each other.
Good.
It's a great experience.
I would love to meet him one day.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about the significance of the heads in 31, and did you have a say in your sick head character?
You know, it's Rob's vision, you know. I mean, it's my job to bring the character to life.
And you did it very well.
Thank you, but you know, it's like you also don't want to disrespect the writer.
Yes.
You know? And Rob gave me the opportunity to speak Spanish in it. I mean, that was his choice. And, you know, speaking Spanish is my first language. I think a lot in Spanish before English. So it was cool to be able to embrace where I'm from and my culture. So.
Mm-hmm.
As an actor, you always want to be able to showcase diversity, and this was a perfect opportunity to show the best of both worlds, you know.
Sick Head was very diverse.
Yeah.
A very fun, mixed character. Yeah. I think that was a nice opening character, too. Yeah.
He's, you know, I like, with Sick Head, too, like, a lot of things with Sick Head is just growing up. You know, I grew up, like, being bullied, and some of the worst bullies are the ones that pretend to be your friends.
Yep.
You know, and that's kind of how I played it. As an actor, you know, you're always, you know, if things ain't working for you, you have to substitute, you have to personalize stuff, and that comes from experience, you know, from what you've experienced growing up, and so it kind of made it easy, you know, to play around. This whole place was my playground.
Pretty much, yeah. All right, any other projects you're working on, or anything in the past or future? I know this is American Horror Story. I'm gonna say, I looked on your IMDb, it said 2014, so I'm guessing Freak Show?
Yeah.
Yep. Now, what did you play in Freak Show?
Freak Show, I didn't have a name. They just had me as Evil Dwarf number one.
Yeah, that's what I've seen.
But it was actually a really cool character, you know? It was a very surreal moment. Like, I flew to New Orleans to shoot for 2 days. I arrived on set. I mean, it was very professional. I arrived on set, and it was a big carnival. They had set up a huge carnival.
Yeah.
And it was real. And then I get on set, and you got the world's tallest woman there.
Mm-hmm.
You have the world's smallest woman there.
Nope.
You have Sarah Paulson there. You have Jessica Lange there. You got Twisty the Clown there. John Carroll Lynch, who was the person I got to do my scenes with. I mean, it was just fascinating. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And it was a beautiful set, and I mean, my character was like a pivot point in a sense of, like, he's the reason that, or one of the reasons that Simpleton the Clown became Twisty the Clown, you know, and I got a chance to be a complete asshole again, which is what I've been doing a lot lately, so.
Well, it works for you, but you seem like a very nice person. So.
Oh, no, I am nice, you know.
And I believe you did the 31 logo that you told me. I talked to you with you yesterday.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't create the 31 logo, but I am also a painter.
Yep.
You can go on my Instagram, P. Moeller.
Yep.
I do a lot of mixed media art, and I thought, like, you know, everyone having their own banners and stuff.
Yep.
I'm new to this whole horror convention world. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make something on my own, and you know, once again, like, my original graphic.
So you painted it.
I painted it myself, and I added, I incorporated some things just with everything. Even if you're, like, copying something, I think you should always add your own little flavor into it.
Well, I do some artwork myself.
Yeah, so, you know, it's hard it's not that easy just to be original with art. And I, as much as I wanted to do my own thing and put up like my face and everything, I feel like this works for me and it's very catchy. And
so
that was
good
to talk about, you know.
You did a great job. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to end it here. It was nice to speak with you.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. It was, you had some really good questions, and, you know, anytime.
Okay, cool. All right, Jessa Doom signing off. Scream Sisters, out.
Sisters, I'm sitting here with Reggie Bannister from Phantasm fame.
That would be me.
Yes. Okay, so Reggie, my first question is, what's your favorite scary movie?
Phantasm.
Of course.
That was easy, right?
Yes.
No, you know what? I grew up when I was, yeah, I think you remember things that you see when you're a kid. I think they make a big impression on you. I saw Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1956.
Oh, yeah.
And that would have made me about 11 years old. And that scared the Jesus out of me. The idea that somebody could just like take you over, an alien personality could take you over. Oh, it was freaky. And I was looking under my bed at night before I'd go to bed. Very scary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your band.
About the band?
Yeah.
Well, there's bands and there's bands. I mean, I've got two different albums, and I use different players on both albums. So on this last album, I had my drummer was from Pittsburgh. Well, and my bass player, they were both from Pittsburgh, and we just had a good time. I went out to Pittsburgh for a couple of weeks, and they had a friend who had a studio, and so we just hung out in the studio for a couple of weeks, and you know, a place I wrote some stuff while I was there, as a matter of fact. So yeah, it was really, really a lot of fun, and that was the second album. That was called Naked Truth, and the first one's called Fool's Paradise, which I believe we all live in.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. How do you feel about the legacy of Phantasm films?
Well, of course I'm really pleased. I mean, anytime you can do something that lives on, you know, I mean, that's really an artist's dream. Da Vinci and Van Gogh and those guys, I mean, they just... You know, Van Gogh just, for example, like, get off his ear, he was so flippy, you know. And he just did his art because he couldn't not do his art. You know? That's kind of the way being a musician or an actor is as well. You can't not do it. And so to be able to find that path has been really great. And we've done five Phantasms now. And there's been a lot of different pictures in between.
Right, it's so sporadic on how they were released as well.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I did, I did two films with Don before Phantasm. I did this film called Jim the World's Greatest. And I played a hang glider pilot. A whacked out hang glider pilot.
I can see that.
You can see that, right?
I totally see that.
It was kind of typecasting. And his name was O.D. Silingsley. And, of course, O.D. for overdose. That was a lot of fun. And then I played Michael Baldwin was in Don's second film.
Oh, cool.
And that was called Kenny and Company. And, it's about some kids in school. They're in junior high school in between elementary and high school. And I played their teacher. And Don Coscarelli fashioned the character after a teacher that he really liked when he was in school. And so I played that character, and it was neat. He would like travel around in his chair, you know, the chair with the wheels, the classroom. He just scoot around in his chair and help people.
What in particular stands out for you as so memorable about the series?
Oh, about the series. Geez, I don't know. It's such a far out, you know, series. And of course, you know, making them is a big standout because, I mean, just each one, to be honest with you, because we would jam ideas right there, you know, just before we turn on the cameras, and we'd have the basic dialogue, and then we'd jam on that, you know. Well, yeah, I'd go, well, Don, you know, what if we say this, or I do this, or
a lot of improv, what if we take
a little improvisation, yeah, so it's really cool, a lot of fun.
Interesting. Just a statement in general, you know, I'm so glad that Ravager finally came out and the legacy of Angus Grimm is just finally the honor now that it's released. It's just so great to see it. I got to, you know, I didn't get to see it on the big screen, unfortunately, but
yeah.
I did get to see when they released the director's cut,
yeah.
The remastered cut that they gave. It's just so nice to see. How was the experience going to see it at the Alamo and talking about it?
No, it was
fun. Was it a great experience?
You know, seeing the first picture was really far out because it's so crisp and clear what JJ did. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Ravager is it kicks.
It
really kicks.
It was very philosophical. Yeah. It's handsome. You know, ways I can honestly say that it confused me a little bit because I'm not into the personal.
Yeah.
Movies.
Yeah.
But I did love it.
Uh-huh.
My friend raves about it, the one that I got him the autograph for.
Oh, cool.
He was just blown away by it. How was it working with Bruce Campbell? I love Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. Well, Bruce is really a consummate professional.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And so when we worked on Bubba Hotep, and what's fun about that was I got to play the guy who tells Bruce what to do. Hospital administrator,
awesome.
You know. And,
yeah,
and he was
it.
In the rest home, and I was the head of the rest home. So that was a lot of fun. And Bruce had fun with it, too. So it was great.
All right, just the last question. I've been hearing about Bloody Bible Camp. Can you just tell me a little bit about it? I'm not terribly familiar with it.
Yeah, it's kind of whacked out. It's pretty funny. Having said that, it's pretty gory as well.
So you're selling it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, a lot of, we've got a photo, a couple of photos, but, it's really a lot of fun. It's a kind of a takeoff on the horror experience.
Oh, awesome.
For example, Ron Jeremy is in the picture.
Oh my God, I love Ron Jeremy. He's so funny.
Yeah, he's funny, and he plays Jesus.
What?
He plays Jesus.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And I play Father Richard Cummings. He called me Dick for short, and or for long, whatever, you know. And so it's a fun movie. It's a real, real good laugh experience.
Just
go
a funny
see
question.
It.
Have you ever really been an ice cream man?
You know what? I used to, when I was a kid, we had the trucks going up and down our streets and stuff, and you could hear them coming because you hear the melody, and they always had these neat melodies, real happy, you know.
Do 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 do
do do. Yeah, and good humor.
Good humor, Mr. Softy. We had in New York when I grew up.
Oh, well, and of course they don't have them anymore,
I see them occasionally. I'm from the Boston area.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm from the Boston area. We have them occasionally, and it's just like a shock when you see them. Like, oh my God, it's an ice cream truck!
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, it's great.
And so you know, ice cream men. They work with a lot of kids, and they had to be.
That's a very different idea.
Yeah, because they go down the same streets. You know, they work the same neighborhoods,
same
and they work the
same kids.
Yeah. And so they see the same kids running out, you know, with money in their hands. It was a lot of fun to be one in a film. And, I just made him as cool as I could.
But you've never been one.
I've never been one.
Okay, because you made it so believable that you're an ice cream man.
Thank you.
My friend Justin came up with that question. He wanted me to ask about.
Oh, yeah.
But that's all I have. I just wanted to ask you some quick questions.
Well, cool.
I really appreciate your time.
It was nice talking to you.
Thank you. It was nice talking to you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right.